going to share together in today's reading from Mark's Gospel, and Barbara's going to read for us.
Reading from Mark chapter 10, which can be found on page 1015, verses 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Praise be to God.
How good's your vision? 2020? No. I got a letter through the post the other day from my opticians. It said, "We've been looking at our records and it appears that we haven't seen you for a little while." I thought, they need their eyes testing. I was in there the other day. Yeah. How good's your sight? It's good to get it checked every now and again. How good's your sight? I guess there are all sorts of reasons why we may not see very clearly. Sometimes things turn up in unexpected places that we're not expecting them to be, and so we fail to see them. Maybe we look at the periphery and we get distracted and fail to see what's in front of our noses. Do you get this sometimes? I'd lost my fountain pen the other day. And I needed it to fill in some marriage registers. So I said to Christine, "I've turned this place upside down. Do you know what I've done with my fountain pen?" And I called her in from the next room, and she came into my study, and she says, "What's that on the table?" "It's my fountain pen. What's that?" How did I not see that it was there all the way along? How good's your vision? Do you see clearly the things that are in front of you? Maybe there are other reasons why we fail to see things. Maybe it's the fog or the mist, season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Maybe the mist or the low cloud can stop us from seeing clearly at times. Remember when I was a teenager, and some friends of I shouldn't say this in Methodist circles, but we were drinking in the Golden Rule in Ambleside, and it got to closing time, you know, time, gentlemen, you know, whatever. And it was still light outside because it was Midsummer's Day, or Midsummer's Eve, night, whatever, shortest night. So it was still kind of 11 o'clock and it was still light outside. So in our youthful exuberance, one of our number said, "Let's climb Helvellyn in the dark. And when we get to the top, if we set off now, it's getting towards midnight, whatever, if we set off now," so we all bundled into Martin Jelly's car, And we set off and we got to Thill Spot, and in the dark we climbed to the top of Helvellyn. Things that you do when you're a teenager, right? As a youth. And we sat at the top because it was kind of like 3 o'clock by the time we got to the top, and still wasn't quite light. We thought the sun's going to come up and we're going to see the sunrise on midsummer's morning. What a beautiful sight. And of course what happened is that it gradually got a little bit lighter, and the grey that was around us sort of got a little bit sort of less grey. And we realised that we were sitting in the cloud and we weren't going to see anything. We couldn't see the view down the mountain. We couldn't see. It was just grey around us. We never saw the sun rise. It just got a little bit lighter, I suppose. What stops you from seeing clearly? Mark, in his gospel, has this theme of blindness and sight. Jesus heals a number of people who are blind and gives them their sight so that they can see clearly. Bartimaeus acts in Mark's gospel as something of a role model for us as Christians. We look at Bartimaeus and see him and say, that's what we should be like in some ways. Our role model for us to follow. Who is it in the Gospels who sees clearly? Who are the ones that can see clearly who Jesus is? And who are the ones who are in the dark? Who are the ones who are really blind? There's none so blind as those who will not see. And there are some people who choose not to see the reality that is standing in front of them, that here is the Messiah. And it takes blind man Bartimaeus to shout out at the top of his voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He sees, even though he's blind. He sees more clearly than many of the others in the crowd, including the disciples. He sees clearly, even though he's blind. There's a touch of irony in that, isn't there? That it's the blind man who knows who Jesus is and recognizes him for who he is. Because he shouts out, Son of David. Now there's a powerful, powerful statement about who Jesus is. And it's no surprise that there are people in the crowd that say, shut up! You can't say that! Be quiet! Shh! Pipe down! Can't say that! That title, Son of David, is so powerful because it's a messianic claim. The Jews of Jesus' day were expecting the Messiah to come. Messiah, Christ, anointed one. And this Messiah would herald the new kingdom. A kingdom like King David's kingdom. And indeed this Messiah would be of David's line. Would be a chip off the old block. Would be just as David had been, but a new king. The son of David. And so as Bartimaeus shouts out, Son of David, he's really proclaiming that here in Jesus is that Messiah. The Messiah who is going to be the king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's going to bring in this new kingdom. And here he is, and it's Jesus. And it takes a blind man to see it. And the Pharisees and the scribes who may have 20/20 vision have missed it. They didn't see. They're blind to who Jesus really is. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Let me look with you. Look and see the way in which Bartimaeus becomes our role model. Bartimaeus, number one, sees clearly who Jesus is. That here is the King of the kingdom. I wonder if we see clearly who Jesus really is. And where do we see the proof of that? Where is this kingdom? What's your vision like? What's your vision for this world that we live in? What kind of a world is it And what kind of a world could it be? And what kind of a world should it be? And if we're talking kingdom here, where is this kingdom of God? This kingdom of justice? This kingdom of peace, of shalom, of wholeness, of well-being? This kingdom where everybody is equally of value and worth? Where is this kingdom? When we look around at our world and we see such poverty in our world today, we see such injustice in our world today. Do you have that vision, that clear vision of the kingdom of God in our world today? We've just prayed it. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Do you see that? Do you have that vision for God's kingdom in our world today? Or maybe in our society, in our nation, and in our community around us, here, right here in Penrith and the surrounding villages. For here too, we see such inequality, such injustice. Why is it that there's such a need for the food bank, for the debt centre? Here in Penrith, what's wrong with our society? Again, do you have that vision for what a kingdom of God might look like in our society? And for us as a church, we ought to be visible signs of that kingdom. Where do you see the kingdom here at PMC? And in your own life, do you have a vision of what your life could be like? If you were to be the best you that you could possibly be, doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to run 100 metres like Usain Bolt or look like any of the models that are on the front of our glossy magazines. No, because you are you. But what's the best you that you could be? And what stops you from doing that? Have you got that kind of vision? Because here is the King of the Kingdom. And here he is. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our world today. Have mercy upon our society. Have mercy upon me. Give me again that vision of what kingdom could look like in my life, in this church, here in Penrith, in the world. Give us that vision. What vision do you have for us as a church here at PMC? What would PMC look like if this was really a sign of God's kingdom? A church without walls, a church that was outward looking, a church that was here for those that weren't here, a church that exists for those who don't yet belong to it, a church that serves its community, a church where everybody is welcome and everybody belongs. A church that is vibrant and full of praise and worship, and that worship just exudes our love for God. A church where we express our love for God, our love for one another, and God's love for the world. Is that your vision for our church? Open your eyes to see God's kingdom. Bartimaeus sees clearly. He sees clearly who Jesus is. Do you know Christ? Do you see him? Do you understand? Do you get it? Do you see who he really is? Open your eyes to see the Lord today. The second thing about Bartimaeus is that he is not content with the status quo. I'm not talking about the pop group now, okay? He's not satisfied with the way that things are. And sometimes we get lulled into a false sense of security. We're comfortable. And maybe we're too comfortable. And when you get too comfortable, it stops you from moving forward. Why would you want anything to change if you're quite happy with the way that things are? Bartimaeus, I suppose, he's been on that spot for all of his life. He's been sat there outside the city gates, well, ever since he was a child. There's no other job for him. There's no other work that he can hold down. He's going to be there. And so he's got himself quite comfortable there sitting at the gates. He's got his cloak. He's got his begging bowl. And people will drop something into his bowl every now and again. Why should things change? It's the way things always have been and the way that things always will be. Not for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is not content with the status quo. He's not content. There is a holy discontent about him. He wants to shake things up. He wants to move things forward. He wants to reach out to Jesus and say, things can be different, can't they? Things can change in my life. You see, who keeps the things of the systems of injustice in our world the way things are? The people who are comfortable with the way that things are and don't want things to change. Isn't that exactly why Jesus got put on the cross? Because he was rocking the boat? The people that were at the top of the tree and Jesus was rocking the tree? Put him on a cross. We don't want things to change here. What stops things from changing in our world? The people who don't want things to change. And God forgive us if we are in that number, because we're quite comfortable with the way things are. It's sometimes said that Jesus came to comfort the afflicted. Have you heard this? He came to comfort the afflicted, and he certainly did. But he also came to afflict the comfortable, to shake things up, to change the way that things are. Are you too comfortable? Are you sitting comfortably? Maybe you ought not to be when we live in a world of injustice. Maybe we're the ones that ought to be crying out, Son of David, have mercy on us. That we allow the world to be as it is today. We are the body of Christ. Jesus gives us now the task to go and shake the world up. To go and comfort the afflicted. But maybe to afflict some people who are a little bit too comfortable too. So Bartimaeus is our role model, you see. He sees clearly who Jesus is. And he's not satisfied with the position that he's in. So what does he do? He cries out for help. He cries out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon us. And maybe that's where we need to be today, crying out for that help, that Jesus would come and help us. See, the other thing about Bartimaeus is that he's not put off. Even though people say, shut up, you're rocking the boat. You're going to cause trouble, you're going to bring down. Oh, Bartimaeus, just be content with what you've got. Remember my parents always saying that, you know, be grateful for what you've got, you know. I say, no, there must be more. Come on, I want more than this. No, no, just be comfortable with what you're saying. But Bartimaeus isn't put off by those that say, be quiet. In fact, the more that they say, quiet, be quiet, the more he shouts out. He's not going to let anybody deter him from what he thinks is the right thing to do. And you see, this is what will happen. The more that the church stands up and starts fighting for the poor, the lonely, the dispossessed, the people that are the ones that have been unjustly treated, the more that others will say, shut up. The church ought to be keeping it out of such matters. Now, exactly what happened to the Archbishop of Canterbury the other day? As soon as he said, look what's happening in our world, that, you know, they say, keep out of politics. That's for politicians to deal with. Because we're making such a good job of it as politicians. We don't want any help. You keep out of things. Shut up. Be quiet. Get back in your place. And Bartimaeus won't shut up. He's going to keep going and keep going and keep going until he gets what he thinks he needs. Are we just going to keep quiet? Or are we going to take action? As the body of Christ, are we going to mobilise? I love the bit at the end of this story Jesus says to Bartimaeus, go. And what does Bartimaeus do? He follows. And instead of going, as Jesus has commanded him, he follows. And do you know where Jesus is off to? Where that road out of Jericho is going to lead him? The next scenes are going to be the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And from there, it's going to lead us to the cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Bartimaeus follows Jesus. How is this world ever going to change? What do we need to do in order to bring that vision of the kingdom here on earth? It's as we follow Christ in sacrificial self-denial, whatever the cost is going to be to self. As we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Christ on that road. That's what's going to change our world. That instead of self-centeredness, selfish, self-desires, greed, we begin to empty ourselves as Jesus did of all but love. And pick up our crosses too. And follow Jesus on the road. How good's your vision? Do you have a vision of what the world ought to be? That's called kingdom. The kingdom of God. The world as it ought to be. How are we going to get there? Do you have that vision? Bartimaeus gives us a clear sight of who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings. He's not put off. And he's wanting that the world can change. We're going to sing our next hymn. Talks about the call of the kingdom. Hear the call of the kingdom. This is our call. King of heaven, we will answer the call. We will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. So number 407. Just before we sing it, by the way, of course this can be an advert for November the 20th. Got it in your diary? November the 20th. Stuart Townend will be standing where I'm standing. And this is one of Stuart Townend's songs. So hear the call of the kingdom.